Daniel chapter 12, looking there this afternoon at verses 5 through 13 of that chapter. Stand for the reading of God's word, please. Daniel chapter 5, beginning there at verse 12. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of the time. To the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest, and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Heavenly Father, this afternoon we're thankful again that we can read about a God who knows the beginning from the end. We can read about a God who not only knows the beginning from the end, but also has throughout history clearly shown that he is in charge of world affairs. And while there has been much wickedness in our world, which is not thy design, we understand that in the midst of all that wickedness, there is a God who has always provided truth, always given man the opportunity to know the truth, and always used even those who choose to defy thee, chose to reject thee, use them to bring glory to thy name. And Father, we're thankful today that we can be those who would humbly bow before thee and recognize thy authority over us and be willing servants of thine, that we can be blessed of thee and be held in thy hand and walk with confidence in the midst of a changing and uncertain world. And I pray this afternoon, if there's someone here that is unsaved, that they might understand once again that there is a God, just as we sang of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And that's because no one can provide for our salvation except Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that we have a God who loves us so much, who has provided salvation for us, but also provided that we can be at peace with thee every day and know thy blessing. And I pray that as we look into this passage of Scripture, that we might be able to just rest in thee, trust thee to be true to thyself, and just follow thee faithfully and allow thee to do thy work in us and through us, that we might be able to be a blessing to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this afternoon is The Times Are in God's Hands. The times are in God's hands. The United States government at this time is under a partial shutdown. The ruling party is trying to make things as difficult as they possibly can for society in the midst of this partial shutdown. They want to continue to spend money foolishly and continue to grab greater control of people and are trying to force their agenda upon the people. The Republicans are finally offering up some resistance to this foolishness, although the majority of the Republicans are nothing more than Democrats in their hearts. It's interesting to see how drastically a once dominant nation has fallen to where it received little respect from the world, and little Canada has stood up, and some other countries are taking note that we may not be perfect, but there are some things, some positions we have taken as a country that I'm thankful that we've taken those positions. For instance, we've taken a position on the side of Israel instead of against them. Although our country is by no means safe, because we too have lax laws that are bringing God's judgment upon us. The right of sodomites to marry. The very thought that a person can be born a male but can walk into a woman's washroom because he thinks he's a woman, and that's acceptable by our laws. This week I received a notice from an organization in Toronto that is warning and asking for people to speak out against a U.S. citizen who has been invited by the University of Toronto to speak to the Ontario Institute for Studies in Education. And this man is a self-described theoretical pedophile. He believes in pedophilia. He writes about it openly. He speaks about it openly. And he has been invited to speak to this organization. In spite of the fact that just recently in Ontario, a man, a professor by the name of Benjamin Levin, has been charged with several counts of possessing and making child pornography. In Italy, the Senate voted to expel Mr. Berlusconi who is the former prime minister of the country, from the body of the Senate because he's a convicted tax fraud. And he has been trying to overthrow the government because he doesn't like what the law has declared him to be. In the Middle East, there is continuing trouble as different countries have uprisings and the continuous threats against Israel. There is much trouble in our world. For those of us that are saved, we need to be reminded that God is still on his throne. Amen. And his will is still that all be saved. And he is still the one who will make an end of world trouble. For those who are unsaved, it is important to notice that regardless of how tightly you keep your fingers crossed, or how much you try to ignore what God's Word says, you will not change what God's Word says. If you choose not to heed His Word and be saved, you will face judgment, and you will end up in the lake of fire for all of eternity. We as individuals will not change and will not interfere with God's plan. And the important thing is to understand that God is in control and that he wants us to know him, but the way to know him is through what his word says, not through our own ideas. As we've noted in the book of Daniel, there are some things that God has been showing Daniel that were very troubling to him, to Daniel. His people, the nation of Israel, were going to face some very severe testing yet. And it bothered Daniel because they were his people. And he was concerned for the well-being of his people. But Daniel also needed to understand that he could find comfort in God. He could have God's peace. And I like what it says in verse 13, where it says, "But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." Daniel was a captive in Babylon. From all that we know, he never returned to the land of Israel. But God says to him, "You're going to stand in your lot at the end of the days." He would be back in that land. And Daniel needed to take comfort in the promises of God, the truthfulness and faithfulness of God. You and I today, we need to take comfort in the promises of God. In the midst of uncertainties in our world, we can trust God. We can follow Him, and we can know His peace. And that's important for us to have that confidence in our lives. And the first thing that we want to notice from this passage is that there is none greater than the eternal God. In this passage in verse 7, it says, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever." That's the one we need to have our confidence in. There is none greater than the eternal God. Again, as we look at this passage, we're coming to the end of the vision that began in chapter 10. And God is giving Daniel some final words, words about the end times again, but also words that were to be a comfort to Daniel as he finished out his life. It tells us in verse 5 that this is still taking place by the river. That's the river Hiddekel that we read about in chapter 10 and verse 4. The river Hiddekel is one of four rivers mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. Although it's not likely that the river Hiddekel that Daniel is standing by is in the same place that the river Hiddekel was in the book of Genesis. The reason that I say that is because the flood changed everything in the world. Changed the topography. So the river has the same name, but it's not likely it was in the same place. The word Hiddekel means rapid, and it is suggested that it refers to the Tigris River. But Daniel was standing by this river, at this river, and he's been talking with her. An angel has been talking with him, revealing things to him. But now we have in this scene that there's two other angels joining the one on either side of the river. And the angel that has been talking to Daniel tells us here that this angel is upon the waters. Now, whether he's standing on the waters or whether he's hovering over the waters, we're not told. But he's upon the waters. And this angel, as he's asked the question, "How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" he can turn to none other than the God of heaven for the answer. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, we are told not to swear by heaven. But the angel here lifts up his hands, his right hand and his left hand, and he swears by him that liveth forever. You see, the difference is in Matthew, it's not right for us to say, "I promise to do this by the God of heaven, I promise to do this." That's wrong. We don't have the right to do that. Because, first of all, the promise that I make might not be God's will. And so if I'm taking His name into account on that promise, I'm suggesting that I have the power to force God to do what I want Him to do. And I don't have that power, nor do you. The angel here is not trying to force his will upon anything. He's declaring. It's no different what he's saying here than the many times you read in the Old Testament, "Thus saith the Lord." That's what he's doing. He's simply declaring, "This is what God says. The God of heaven is giving me this message for you, Daniel. This is the truth." And so the question in verse 6 there, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And the answer is given in verse 7. It shall be for a time, times, and a half. So what we have here again is the last half of the tribulation. Continuing the thought of verse 1. The end of the tribulation, the last half of the tribulation, that's what's going on here. That's the question being asked. That's the answer being given. And he says here, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. The nation of Israel today is still a scattered people. There are over 1 million that have returned to the promised land, but there are still many that are not in that land. The Antichrist is going to do his work to try to scatter them, try to kill them, but because he's trying to kill them, they're going to scatter. Matthew chapter 23 talks about them fleeing to the mountains. They're going to be scattered. But that will come to an end at the end of this 3.5 years. There'll be no more scattering the nation of Israel, but now there will be a drawing together of the nation of Israel by none other than God himself. Jesus Christ will be doing that. All these things shall be finished. Come to an end. Finished. And again, we can take comfort, and Daniel could take comfort in the fact that this was not an indeterminate amount of time that the Antichrist would have, that he would just come on the scene and there would be just an ongoing, you know, you take the time of King Manasseh, who was one of the latter kings of the nation of Judah, a very ungodly, very wicked king, and yet a king who reigned for 50 years, but a wicked king. He had a long time to poison the land with his wickedness. The Antichrist will only have 3.5 years. That's all he's given by God. Now, he's going to be far more wicked than any other human being has ever been, because Satan is going to be unleashing his evil plot through the Antichrist. And so it'll be a terrible time, that 3.5 years. But it will be only 3.5 years. And that's important. Daniel needed to understand that. He needed to know that. That there was a time frame involved here. In verse 8 it says, "And I heard, but I understood not." It was too much for Daniel. Too much for him to grasp. He heard it, but he didn't understand it. Many times that's the way we are. We hear something, but we don't understand it. Sometimes there are things in the Word of God that we can't understand. But many times there are things that we can understand. And it says that here as well in this passage, in verse 10, in the last part, "But the wise shall understand." Wise, what makes us wise? When we trust in God. When we humbly follow Him. It's not us that are wise. It's not because I spent X number of years in some college or something that makes me wise. It's the fact that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior and are humbly following Him. The second thing that we want to notice here, and the thing that the Bible is clear on all the way through, is that God's will is for souls to be saved. You know, we've been looking at a book that has a lot of prophecy, projecting past our time. And as I mentioned last week, we can become so enamored with the prophecy of looking into the future and missing the whole point of why God is telling us these things. What is he hoping? Not what is he hoping, but what is he doing? What is he trying to accomplish through this? And he tells us here in this verse 8, "And I heard but understood not. Then said I, O my God, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of the time." For the time of the end. It's written right there. I just need to read it. "Many shall be purified and made white and tried." And that's encouraging again for Daniel and encouraging again for us. Daniel could understand that while there was trouble, big trouble coming for his people, many shall be purified and made white and tried. Now the text doesn't tell us how that's going to happen, but we understand that that purifying, that being made white, is not going to come because they're going to face great tribulation, and simply because they've endured the tribulation, it's going to make them white. But the purifying and the being made white is going to come because they're going to recognize the Messiah. They're going to repent of their sin. They're going to be saved. And they're being made white. And they're going to be tried. They're going to face difficulty. Great difficulty for some of them. To me, it is an interesting thing when I listen to people talk about how that they like to watch evil, violent movies. They seem to enjoy hearing about and watching and seeing blood flowing, gory things happening, how they can even sit there and take that stuff in. That's contrary to the way God made man. And the sad reality is that there are pockets where today people are not just sitting and enjoying watching these kind of evil movies, but they're actually acting out this kind of evil. They love to see blood flow. Vile individuals. But that violence will come to an end. Verse 10, again, it says that many shall be purified and made white and tried. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Just one of many places we could go, but it says there, "Look unto me and be ye saved." Notice the next words. "All the ends of the earth." All the ends of the earth. "For I am God, and there is none else." You see, there is no one that could have, you know, there are the naysayers who don't want to accept the prophetic nature of the book of Daniel. No one could sit down and write a book like Daniel, the book of Daniel, with the accuracy that we have there. No one could do that unless God was directing them. That's of God. And what's the purpose? Why? That people might know that I am God and there is none else. There is none else. There is no other God. And so God doesn't want us to get enamored with all these things, but he wants us to come to see that he's the only God. And then if we understand that he's the only God, then he also wants us to recognize the value of worshiping him, of falling down and worshiping him, of submitting to him and following him and glorifying his name. Harvest Baptist Church is not in the entertainment business. That's not why God raised up Harvest Baptist Church. Yesterday, my wife and I were driving, and we passed a sign advertising a flea market at the Alliance Church. I believe that the Alliance Church today simply had an extension of that flea market. But we're not here to have a flea market. Amen. We're here to do business for God. We're here to proclaim His name, that those of us that are here, even those of us that are saved, myself included, might understand that He is God and there is none other. And that we might understand the importance of bowing before Him and serving Him as the only true God. Harvest Baptist Church was not raised up by God to try to appease society. I was sent an email this week suggesting that I should announce in our church, and this is not an announcement, this is just telling you what I was given, that there's, again, I think it's the Alliance Church that is offering for single mothers and that to do your winterizing of your vehicle for free. Harvest Baptist Church cares about single mothers, but we care enough about them that we want them to know the truth. Yes, if we have opportunity to do the secular things, we'll do that. But our priority, any church's priority, should be the preaching of the gospel. That should be our priority. There are enough places where they can go and get their cars fixed, and someone will do it for free and that, but there's not a lot of places they can go and get the gospel.
Amen.
And so we need to focus in on that which is really important. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 13 and 14. Well, let's start at verse 12 there. It says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding?" You get the picture? Who has the authority, who has the right to suggest that we need to give God counsel? That He ought to listen to us and He ought to allow us to direct Him, because after all, this is 2013. This is a long time. This is 6,000 years about from the day of creation. Obviously, humanity would say many things have changed, God. You've got to get with the times. But the fact of the matter is that nothing has changed. In fact, the only thing that has changed is from Genesis 1 and 2 to chapter 3 is that sin entered the world. And that has corrupted everything. And so we need to turn to God to get some sense of truth again. Not that God is all truth, but we as people don't have all the truth. We don't follow all the truth, I should say. We have it, but we don't follow it. But we need to know the truth. And we need to see the importance of simply submitting to God and knowing His will and following His will. Romans chapter 11, verse 34. Romans chapter 11, verse 34. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?" And again, the answer is, nobody is God's counselor. He doesn't need us for that. He doesn't need us for anything. He has provided everything for us. But we're not His counselors. No man is equal to God. And God wants us to submit to Him. And Daniel is told, "Many shall be purified and made white." And then at the end of that verse he says, "But the wise shall understand." And in the midst of that verse he says, None of the wicked shall understand. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. And that's, we're still seeing that in our world today. We were talking about that just before the service. The ungodly. Today, with the focus on man-made climate change, regardless of what statistics are showing, those who are sold on that philosophy are still plodding ahead and pushing their agenda. They cannot understand. Why can't they understand? Because their hearts are wicked. They don't want to know the truth. And the same goes for anything else that is contrary to God's word. The wicked, but the wicked shall do wickedly. You and I, we ought not be surprised when we hear about the wickedness going on in the world around us. The wicked shall do wickedly. That's the nature of the wicked. That's again why they need the gospel. It's only the gospel that's going to change them. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Again, you and I, today, we can understand. We can see what's happening in our world. We can see why it's happening, but we can also see that there's a God who's in charge. We can trust Him. We can continue to pray for lost individuals, continue to encourage them to turn to the Lord, but we can also understand. The third thing that Daniel is told here, and this is very important for us as well, is the blessing of waiting. The blessing of waiting. Verse 12, it says, "Blessed is he that waiteth." That waiting is not a matter of just sitting around and doing nothing, but it's a matter of doing what we need to be doing, but understanding that God's plan will be fulfilled according to God's timetable. We look at it and we say, "But God, why aren't you doing something right now?" Well, He is. But as far as His timetable is concerned, that's in His hands. It's like I said this morning in Sunday school, there are people in our world today who are having family problems. And when I talk to them, I counsel them according to what the Word of God says. That, first of all, you as an individual that I'm talking to, you need to make sure your heart is right with God. The rest of your family, you can pray for them, you can guide them, you can lead them, you can walk before them as you need to, but it's in God's hands as to when their hearts will be changed. They need to respond to God. They need to see their need to turn to God. And you see, sometimes we say, "But God, this is hard. Why don't you change it right now?" Well, because that individual has to want to humble themselves and believe the truth. And again, if I look in the mirror and see how stubborn I've been in the past, what can I expect from other people? They have the same nature before they're saved, and even sometimes when we're saved, we can be very stubborn people. Waiting. Praying. Living right. You see, that's the thing. When I'm waiting, I'm not saying, "Well, this book doesn't work. I'm going to try something different." That's not waiting. Waiting says, "I believe what this book says. I'm going to follow what this book says. I'm going to pray that the other individuals that are affecting me or whatever, that that will change. But I'm just going to trust this book. I'm going to continue to grow, continue to be faithful, and follow God." Back when we went to Bible school, my mother-in-law, who cared about our family in a way, but my mother-in-law said to me that I was an irresponsible father and husband. How could I dare take my family off to Bible school where we're not going to make money? How could I dare do that? Who's going to look after my family? You think that didn't hurt? I was a father, and I was a husband. And I understood that my responsibility was to look after my family. But I also understood that God had called me to something different than pulling wrenches and driving tractor. I understood that. So what was I going to do? Was I going to run and say, well, this isn't working. Mom doesn't like this. I better go back and get myself a job. Or was I going to wait? Just trust God. Follow God as best I knew what He wanted from me. And just wait. And let God work out His plan. You see, waiting is so important. To simply do what is right and wait. Wait. Why? Because I am God and there is none else. Daniel is given two different times here. In verse 11, he says, God says to him, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, that's the middle of the tribulation again, there shall be 1,290 days. That's 1,290 days. Half of the tribulation is 1,260 days. So we've got 30 days more here than half of the tribulation. What are the 30 days for? You want the honest answer? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Okay? Then, in verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. Now we've got even more days. We've got now from 1260, we've got 75 extra days. What are those days for? Again, the Bible doesn't tell us. I'll tell you what the suggestion is, that at the end of the tribulation, there's the Battle of Armageddon. In the Battle of Armageddon, there's a lot of death, a lot of destruction. The earth is also going to be changed again, because it says, for one thing, when Jesus Christ comes down to the earth and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, it's going to split in two. There are going to be changes to the topography of the earth. So, could it be that this 75 days is time to clean up some of the mess from the War of Armageddon in the beginning of the millennium? We don't know that. But whatever it is, God is giving these two time frames to Daniel. 1,290 days for the first time frame. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, when the Antichrist breaks his covenant with the nation of Israel, and when he sets up his abomination in the temple, 1,290 days. But blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. Again, waiting. Letting God be God, letting God work out His plan, and just trusting Him as we wait. And then, as I mentioned, verse 13, but go thou thy way till the end be. Daniel, we said before already, he's probably in his early 90s, somewhere in his 90s at this time. He's been in Babylon throughout the captivity. That was 70 years, depending on what age he came into that captivity. But he could well be up in his 90s. He doesn't have long to live. We don't know how long he lived beyond this. But God says to him, but go thou thy way till the end be. Where is that going to lead Daniel? He's going to die. He's going to be buried. His body's going to rot. His soul is going to be taken to paradise. He's going to wait there until Jesus dies, was buried, rose again, and went and led captivity captive. He brought those Old Testament saint souls out of paradise and brought them up to glory. And then he says, for thou shalt rest. Daniel wasn't to be in trouble. This was not supposed to cause Daniel to be all in trouble. And even after he died, he would be at rest, rather than the ungodly who are in torment from the day that they die. But Daniel would be in rest. And then he says, and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. There was a resurrection coming for Daniel, and Daniel would stand in his lot. He would be back with his people. He would be back in the land. And that's what the Bible teaches. And these words were given to Daniel to comfort him, to be a blessing to him, as these things were given to him, things that were troubling to him because they were going to happen to his people. But Daniel could still be in comfort. There are things today that go on in your life and my life. As a father, myself, as a grandfather, there are family members that I have that I wish were saved, but they're not. And it bothers me, but it doesn't take away my joy in the Lord. You see, I can't go and twist their arm and say, get on your knees right now and pray the prayer and get saved. I can't do that. I can be a witness, I can be a testimony. But you see, God doesn't want us to allow these kinds of things to rob us of the joy that He wants us to have, because we have been saved. We have been saved. And He wants us to rejoice in that. And again, be confident that He can do the same work in others that He did in us. He can do that. But what He's asking of us, that we might be a faithful testimony, that are not a stumbling block to those people coming to know the truth. And if we're not walking with God as we ought to, we're a stumbling block. We're hindering them from coming to know the truth, because we're not identifying ourselves as faithful children of God. And that's what they need to see. Just how big is your God? I mentioned to you some time back, I mentioned to you that when we were farming, the Lord laid it on my heart to witness to, there was a new subdivision being developed across the street from road from our farm. And the Lord laid it on my heart to go and witness to those people and invite them to come to church. We were dairy farmers. Dairy farming is busy life. You have to milk those cows twice a day. And if you're going to get good production, you have to be consistent as to the time when you go and milk those cows. And so we were on Sunday, we would take our children to Sunday school and come back and finish up our chores. Because I thought, well, you know, I'm just busy. I can't go to Sunday school. I need to finish my chores. But as the Lord was laying on my heart that I need to be a witness to these people, the Lord was also telling me, now just what are you going to tell them? If you're going to go and invite them to church and talk to them about being saved, how are you going to show them what salvation does in a person's life when you're not even willing to put me first in these things in your life? And I talked to my wife about it, and I said, you know, we need to make some changes in our life. Here I am, I want to go and witness to these people, but I'm going to show them that, well, my God really isn't big enough to look after my farm while I go to church where I ought to be on the Lord's Day. But I got to look after these things instead of being where I should be. And so we made some changes. We still got the farming done. We still fed the cattle. We still got them milked on time. We just made some changes. And we went to Sunday school with our children. And we went to Bible study on Wednesday night instead of saying, well, it's haying time, the sun is shining, my crop is ready to bale now, I don't need to bale, it's Wednesday night, but I got to bale my hay. And I said, no, God knows I need to bale that hay. That hay will be there on Thursday just as it is on Wednesday. God wants me in Bible study on Wednesday, I'm going to Bible study. If it rains on my hay, the Lord knows all about that. And I can't remember once, now I'm not saying God has to do this, but I can't remember once that my hay got rained on because I went to Bible study on a Wednesday night. You see, God is good. He's far better to us than what we deserve. Far better than what we deserve. But the question is, are we going to follow Him and simply put Him first in our lives? And let Him be glorified and work things out for His glory. That's all He's asking us to do. He's a big God, and we can trust Him. Daniel was told to go his way. Daniel, just continue to walk. Just continue to go your way. Because he was following God's way. Just continue to go. Just continue to follow. You're going to die and you're going to rest. And you're going to stand with your people. What more of a promise do you and I need than that the God of creation, the God of heaven, is going to be with us and guide us even after death? What more of a promise do we need? What more of confidence do we need to have than to simply be that child of God that He can use to be a light and a witness to those around us? I don't know of any one of those neighbors that I witnessed to that ever got saved. I don't know that. But that's not my business. That's God's business. You see, just because if they didn't get saved doesn't mean that, well, you know, maybe I should have done something more yet. You know, I did what I believe God wanted me to do according to His Word. The results are in His hand. But at least they couldn't point to me and say, well, your God's not very big. I mean, I skip church because I'm unsaved. I don't go to church. I don't think it's important. I go party. I do whatever else. But you claim to be a Christian. And you still skip church. That doesn't fit. Jesus calls that hypocrisy. And God wants us to trust Him. And to let ourselves be that voice of reason in a lost and dying world, that others can come to know the truth. The times are in God's hands. Let's walk with Him so that He can bless us and He can use us for His glory. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful this afternoon that we have the same God, or we can know the same God today that Daniel knew. The same God that guided Daniel throughout his life in captivity is the same God who wants to guide our lives today. The same God who provided for Daniel and protected him in various situations that he faced is the same God who wants to protect and guide us today as well. I pray, Father, that Thou wouldst help us, that we would have that understanding. Thy word says in verse 10 here that the wise shall understand. I pray that we would have that understanding. That we would understand that we can trust Thee. And what Thy word says is exactly what it means. And sometimes we need to learn to wait. And realize that Thy promises are sure. But the timing is also in Thy hands. That we'd not try to push Thee and try to think that we need to manipulate Thee to do what we want of Thee now, but we would simply allow Thee to do in us what Thou wouldst have us to do. That we can be that testimony to those around us and help them to know Thy peace and comfort as well. Thank Thee for being such a great and good God and for making Thyself known to us. I pray that we would just walk with Thee and know Thy blessing. We pray, Father, if there's someone here this afternoon that is unsaved, that they might understand once again that they can be saved today. They need to be saved today. But if they choose to put Thee off, there is a judgment coming, and they will not escape it. I pray that they'd want to know Thy mercy and grace today and Thy forgiveness in their hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 790 in your hymn books, please. 790, God is still on the throne. We'll sing that together, please. Stand and sing that together.
started for glory in heaven. Have you left this old world far behind? In your heart is the Comforter dwelling. And you say, praise the Lord, He is mine. And the one that once walked on the highway, gone back and you sleep all alone. Keep your eyes on the prize, for the home in the skies, God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne, and He will remember His own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, He never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne, He never forsaken His own. His promise is true, He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. Burden soul, is your heart growing weary with the toil and the heat of the day? Does it seem that your path is more thorny as you journey along on life's way? Go away in secret before Him. Tell your grief to the Savior alone. He will lighten your care, for He still answers prayer. God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne, and He will remember His own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, He never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne, He never forsaken His own. His promise is true, He will not forget you. Unnoticed by those who pass by, but a mansion for you He is building in that beautiful city on high. He will outshine the wealth and the splendor of the richest on earth we have known. He's the architect true, and He's building for you. God is still on the throne. He will remember His own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, He never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne. He never forsaken His own. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. He's coming again. Disciples, when He went away, in like manner as He has gone from you, you will see Him returning someday. Does tarrying cause you to wonder? Does it seem He's forgotten His own? His promise is true, He is coming for you. God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne, and He will remember His own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, He never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne, He never forsaken His own. His promise is true, He will not forget you. God is still on the throne.
Father, we're thankful this afternoon that Thou art still on the throne. Thankful that Thy promise is true, that our salvation is secure in Thy hand if we've trusted in the blood of Thy Son for our salvation. Thankful that today, as Thy children, we can walk with Thee, and we can know that even though we face difficulties that we don't know how they're going to end, but we can still trust Thee to give us Thy comfort, to be at work in the hearts of those that we love and care for. and that thy desire is still for men and women and boys and girls to be saved, to know thy peace. And so we can still proclaim thy message of hope to them and give them that opportunity to know thy peace as we walk faithfully with thee and know thy blessing ourselves. We pray, Father, that each one of us here would truly know thy blessing of salvation today. We'd be walking with thee in accordance with thy word, that we can be used of thee in the days to come to help some lost individual to take another look at the truth, and by thy grace even be saved and come to know thy peace as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Lord bless.